上海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口译资格证书考试，高级口译教程第二版，梅德明编著，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版。第三盒。
Passage 3. English-Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, my topic today is education in Australia. In Australia, each state and territory has its own primary and secondary education system. Standards, however, are high and reasonably uniform. Within each state and territory system, there are two main types of school, government and non-government. In government schools, attended by about two-thirds of children, tuition is free. About three-quarters of the non-government schools are Catholic. Most non-government schools charge fees. Although the states and territories are responsible for all education, the federal government provides most funding for higher education. In 1989, it set up a system under which undergraduate and postgraduate students must make a financial contribution toward the cost of their study. Throughout Australia, schooling is compulsory between the age of 6 and 15 years. However, most children begin school earlier than the law requires, usually in preschools run by the same organisations that administer the mainstream schools. Primary schooling lasts 6 to 7 years, and the curriculum is similar across the nation. Studies begin with basic language and mathematics and the fundamentals of inquiry, and social, health and creative skills are taught. Before reaching secondary level, children are learning English, mathematics, elementary science, social studies, music, art, craft and physical education. Optional subjects such as religion, languages and music are common. Secondary schooling begins at year 7 or 8 and goes typically to year 12. More advanced levels of the same subjects are taught, plus technical and commercial ones. The typical secondary school is the coeducational comprehensive or multipurpose high school, offering a wide range of subjects. Some states have separate high schools and colleges specializing in technical, agricultural, commercial, and other fields. Their curriculums include general academic subjects and practical training. Major examinations or other formal assessments occur after 3 or 4 years of high school, and at this point, most students are old enough to leave the system. Another 2 years study is available, however, and many keep going to the end year 12. In most parts of Australia, certificates are issued at each of these levels, called commonly the school certificate, at or about year 10, and the higher school certificate, year 12. The higher school certificate is usually required for university or higher education college entry. Post-secondary education in Australia occurs in universities and colleges of technical and further education called TAFEs. Most of Australia's approximately 1 million TAFE students attend state-administered colleges. The vast majority study part-time. All major skills in a wide range of industrial, commercial, artistic, and domestic occupations are covered. Most universities also offer non-degree continuing education programs. The entire system is matched by correspondence courses for students prevented by illness, disability, or residential isolation from attending schools. There are also School of the Air, which use two-way radio networks to provide classroom experience to students in isolated places. In some states, children living too far from a secondary school to travel daily may live in government-funded or subsidized hostels. Special educational services are provided to integrate into classrooms children with disabilities attending special and mainstream schools. They are designed to accommodate the special needs of children with intellectual, physical, sensory, emotional, social, or learning disabilities. There is a nationwide school program designed to increase student sensitivity to the population's multicultural background and to help ethnic communities maintain their languages and cultures. Students from non-English speaking backgrounds are helped to develop their English to enhance their equality of opportunity in education and participation in society. Educational material developed under federal initiatives is available to schools to meet such language needs. I'd like to stop here and wish to take your questions.
Unit 7, Tour and Visit. Text for Interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese English Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
各位来宾, 欢迎各位参观上海外国语学校。 在来宾们参观我校之前, 请允许我先简要地介绍一下我校的概况。 我校创办于1963年, 隶属上海外国语大学, 是全国最早创建的几所外国语学校之一。 这所具有外语专业性教育的全日制寄宿学校, 是由国家教育部和上海市教委双重领导的一所全科类重点中学。 学校拥有一支优秀的教师队伍, 现有35个班级, 1300多名在校学生。 建校以来, 我校以培养外语水平较高、其他文化知识较好的毕业生为目标, 坚持加强基础、发展智力、培养能力的教学方针, 做到办学有特色、教学有特点、学生有特长, 得到了教育部和教育界专家的肯定, 在国内外享有较高的声誉。 我校开设英、德、法、日、俄等5个语种, 各语种都聘有外籍教师任教, 多方面为学生学好外语创造良好的条件。 我校还开设多种选修课、第二外语课, 帮助学生扩大知识面, 发展个性特长、陶冶情操, 保证学生在德、智、体、美诸方面全面发展。 我校十分注重国际友好交往, 与英国、美国、德国、法国、日本、韩国等国家的一些学校建立了校际交流关系, 每年进行互访。 学校已先后派出近100名师生出国学习、进修和讲学。 38年来, 我校为国家培养了约5000名毕业生, 他们活跃在各行各业, 为社会主义现代化建设事业贡献力量。现在, 全校师生同心协力, 实施全面素质教育, 改革教学内容、课程设置和教学方法, 提高教学质量和办学效益, 为把学校办成一所外向型、多模式、高质量的国内外名牌外国语学校而努力奋斗。
Passage 2. English Chinese interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Welcome to Vancouver. As Canada's third largest metropolitan city after Toronto and Montreal, Vancouver is the principal commercial, industrial, shipping, financial, tourist, and cultural center for Western Canada. Sometimes called Canada's gateway to the Pacific, Vancouver is linked by shipping services with Pacific ports of the United States, China, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. Through the Panama Canal, it is linked with Atlantic ports of Americas and Europe. Products of Western Canada's farms, ranches, forests, coal mines, and industries are sent by rail to Vancouver and then by water to the ports of the world. One of the world's largest natural ice-free harbors, it is where the manufactured goods from Asia arrive throughout the year. Vancouver's manufacturing includes lumber and paper milling, food processing, oil refining, metal fabricating, and the production of chemicals, machinery, electronic items, and printed matter. Vancouver is predominantly a service center. Since the 1960s, employment in finance, insurance, and real estate-related activities has tripled. That in accommodation and food services has quadrupled. That in health and welfare services has quintupled. And that in services for businesses has increased eightfold. Employment in primary and secondary industries has declined relative to population. The majority of Vancouver's historic buildings are in the Gastown and Chinatown areas. Older sections of the city have undergone considerable change since 1960, when downtown high-rise office buildings and hotels were built. False Creek, a decaying industrial area with sawmills, rail yards, and small shops, was transformed into a residential development project. Gastown, the original heart of the city, was restored in the 1880s style with antique stores and boutiques. Vancouver is largely British in character, with some Chinese influence. Almost three-fourths of the population are of British ancestry. The Chinese, French, Japanese, and East Indians are the largest among other ethnic groups. Its Chinatown is the second largest Chinese community in North America, second only to San Francisco of the United States. The city has long been noted for its cultural activities. Major cultural institutions include the Macmillan Planetarium, Centennial and Maritime Museums, the Vancouver Opera House, Queen Elizabeth Theatre, Vancouver Art Gallery, and Vancouver Aquarium. Robson Square has provincial government offices, a skating rink, multi-level shopping and food facilities, and a sports stadium with a seating capacity of 60,000. The Robson Square Conference Center and the Provincial Courthouse buildings are noted for their modern architectural style. Vancouver has numerous scenic and recreational attractions. Parks, beaches, and marinas dot the city's extensive shoreline. Queen Elizabeth Park is noted for its beautiful botanical gardens and conservatory of exotic plants. At this time of the golden autumn season, Vancouver, like many other places of Canada, is extremely beautiful, backgrounded by the bright blue sky, the leaves on maple trees with brilliant hues of red give a flaming tribute to the city. Maple trees produce a peculiar sap each spring, which in turn produces a sweet and delicious syrup. We Canadians are very grateful to these magic trees because they color the Canadian landscape in the autumn and sweeten the Canadian palate in the spring. In particular, the maple tree leaf is Canada's national symbol, and our national flag flies with it. Wherever we go, the maple tree leaf reminds us of our great country and of our beautiful hometown, Vancouver.
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
上海博物馆是一座大型中国古代艺术博物馆。 创建于1952年，并于1992年在市中心人民广场的新址上新建新馆。1996年，雄伟壮观的上海博物馆新馆全面对外开放，既有11个专馆和3个展览馆，开放面积达10,000余平方米。上海博物馆有馆藏珍贵文物 12万件， 包括青铜器、陶瓷器、书法、绘画、雕塑、家具、玉牙器、竹木漆器、甲骨、玺印、钱币、少数民族工艺等21个门类，其中青铜器、陶瓷器和书画为馆藏三大特色。上海博物馆新馆建筑总面积38,000平方米， 由地下2层、地上5层构成，建筑高度 29.5米。 这座壮观的新馆将方形基座和巨型圆顶及4个拱形出挑结合起来，象征着传统文化与时代精神的完美融合。从高处俯瞰，上海博物馆的玻璃圆顶犹如一面硕大的汉代铜镜。 从远处眺望，新馆建筑犹如一尊青铜古鼎，默默承载着5000年历史和文明的重荷。上海博物馆南大门的两侧耸立着8尊汉白玉雕塑，这是从300多件汉唐雕塑文物中遴选出8件作品加以仿制放大，每件高近3米，重约21吨。 极具庄严雄浑之气，传统文化与现代风格的完美结合，在室内装饰上也得以充分体现。大堂扶手栏板均由回首卷尾的龙纹图案组成，即便是金光灿灿的扶梯包首，也胎息于商代青铜器中的龙头。沿着石阶登堂进入博物馆， 您将领略到推开历史之门的沉重和喜悦。上海博物馆拥有一批古文物研究、鉴定和考古方面的高级专家，推出了94种学术出版物。上海博物馆还有一座藏有20多万册艺术类和历史类图书的现代化图书馆， 曾获得多项国家科技成果奖的文物保护技术科学实验室、书画装裱研究室、青铜陶瓷修复研究室，以及配有同声传译设施的多功能国际学术会议演讲厅。上海博物馆的考古部承担了全市考古发掘工作，考古工作者在全市范围内 发现了新石器时代至战国的古文化遗址27处，清理了新石器时代至明清时代的古墓葬500余座，证明上海有6000年的历史。 上海博物馆重视对外文化交流活动，先后在亚洲、欧洲、北美和澳洲的16个国家和地区举办了39个古代艺术文物展览，引进了18个来自不同国家和地区的艺术展览。这些展览对弘扬中华民族文化、了解世界各国文化起到了积极的作用。上海博物馆积极开展国际学术交流活动，近十年来派出专家学者参加国际学术会议和专题交流达100多人次，并多次在馆内主持举办了国际学术交流活动。上海博物馆拥有一个现代化的影视中心，配有先进的放映设备和高清晰度的大屏幕，通过视频向文物研究者播放上海博物馆珍藏的文物精品。博物馆还设有多媒体导览服务系统和数码式语音导览系统，分别用英、日、法、汉等八种语言介绍博物馆的文物精品。在这个电子语音向导的帮助下，参观者可以听到所选展品的讲解词，更好地领略现代科技所表现的古代文化带来的艺术享受。
Passage 2. English-Chinese interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Situated between the state of New York of the United States and the province of Ontario of Canada, and with an age of 25,000 years,Niagara Falls is one of the most spectacular natural wonders on the North American continent. The falls are on the Niagara River, which flows between the United States and Canada from Lake Erie to Lake Ontario. The falls are about 17 miles northwest of Buffalo, New York. The industrial city and tourist center of Niagara Falls, New York,is adjacent to the American side of the falls. Niagara Falls, Ontario, is across the river. The falls are divided into two parts by Goat Island. The larger portion, on the southwest side, is the Canadian Falls, known as Horseshoe Falls. It measures 790 meters along its curve,and drops 49.4 meters. The smaller American Falls is northeast of Goat Island. It is 305 meters across and drops about 51 meters. Just before flowing over the ledge, the American stream is only about 1 meter deep, while the Canadian stream is about 6 meters deep and carries some 95% of the Niagara River's water. Thus, the Horseshoe is the larger and grander of the two falls. Every minute, about 340,000 cubic meters, or close to 379,000 tons of water, pours in torrents over the cliffs of the Falls of Niagara.As the water plunges from the brink of the falls, it fills the air with a silvery mist, which under the sunlight displays many brilliant rainbows. The plunging water also sends out a never-ending roar as it strikes the bottom. For this reason, the Indians called the cataract Niagara, meaning thunder of waters. The plunging water,has worn away the lower rocks so that there are caves behind the sheets of water of both falls. Sightseers may enter the Cave of Winds at the foot of the American Falls and get an unusual view. The Canadian Falls has carved a plunge basin 59 meters deep. Both the United States and Canadian governments have built parks, viewing platforms,paths and highways. The Niagara Reservation State Park was established in 1885 and is New York's oldest state park. It includes an observation tower, elevators that descend into the gorge at the base of the American Falls, and boat trips into the waters at the base of Horseshoe Falls. At night, colored lights illuminate the falls and create a charming spectacle, which viewers find hard to turn away from. The park area has long been a tourist site and a favorite spot for couples to spend their honeymoons.
Unit 8. Interview.
Passage 1. Chinese English Alternating Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
今天，我们可以毫不夸张地说，计算机 已无所不在。先进的高科技产品似乎随处可见。我们的办公室、学校和住所都有。但是相对来说，计算机的发展历史比较短，直到20世纪40年代晚期，计算机才从专业的科学仪器发展为商品。保罗·塞卢奇先生在他的《现代计算的历史》一书中探讨了几乎鲜为人知的计算发展史。以下是对保罗·塞卢奇先生的一次采访。塞卢奇先生，现代计算的历史究竟从何时开始的？
Well, computing is something that people have been doing for centuries. But I like to think that the beginnings of the modern era of computing really began around 1945, when the first computer was completed that used vacuum or electronics to do the calculations instead of gears and mechanical parts.
那台计算机的性能如何呢?
Well, it was quite unreliable. The tubes burned out frequently. But if you could keep it running for an hour or two, you could do more work in that hour than you could with a mechanical device running all day.
你在书中告诉读者，计算机其实是20世纪40年代后期由专业科学仪器转变为商业产品的。那么是谁促成了这种转变的呢?
A lot of people have claimed credit. And there is a bit of controversy over this concept. What really happened was people who built these early computers conceived of the idea of storing the program, the instructions that tell the computer what to do internally, in its own memory. It is a very ingenious idea that seems obvious in retrospect.
塞卢奇先生，在你所著的《现代计算史》中， 你论述了经济和冷战对计算的影响。那么你在书中写到了哪些影响呢?
We today enjoy a wealth of consumer products that use silicon chips that cost sometimes a few dollars. I have one on my wristwatch. Our pocket calculators cost a few dollars or are even given away. It is hard to imagine that the first silicon chips were very delicate, very expensive devices. No one was quite sure if they were going to work at all. But the United States Air Force faced a problem of trying to miniaturize guidance electronics for its missiles and entered into a number of contracts with companies that were making silicon chips, and the result was they improved the reliability. They allowed the companies to set up production lines that eventually drove down the cost. So today's $2 calculator is the product of a multi-million dollar Air Force project of the early 1960s.
在计算机科技领域，最大的公司显然是国际商务机器公司，即IBM公司。 那么IBM公司有哪些功过是非呢？
IBM was a manufacturer of punch cards, equipment that used mechanical readers, and electromagnetic replays, and they were very, very successful. Around the late 1940s, they saw these experimental electronic computers coming along, and they made a very brilliant decision to go with the electronic computer. It sounds obvious in hindsight. But if you were there at the time, it might have seemed a very, very risky decision. But they did it, and they became dominant in the computer industry. That domination lasted right up into the 1980s, until a little upstart company called Microsoft came along, and a few other companies came along. That kind of knocked them out of that position because they failed to see that the little personal computers, which were kind of hobbyist kits in the early days, were going to have such an enormous potential once the bugs were ironed out of them.
塞卢奇先生，我的最后一个问题是， 当今计算机面临的主要问题是什么？
There used to be big problems of reliability, just getting them to work at all. Now they work. They are reliable and relatively cheap. Now the problems of politics and the social uses of computers have sort of bubbled up to the surface, now that those other problems have been taken care of. So we have questions of monopoly use or domination of the infrastructure of computers and communications, censorship on the Internet, the relationship of the Internet to more traditional forms of communication and information, like newspapers and radio. These are all political issues, really. Passage 2, English-Chinese Alternating Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
China has held many cultural exchange activities in Europe and other parts of the world. The coming China Culture Week in London is the largest cultural exhibition of its kind. May I know the purpose of staging such an exhibition?
我们已经进入了一个新的千年。 文化周是庆祝新纪元到来的大型活动之一。我们还希望这次展览能帮助英国人民以及来自世界其他地区的人们了解中国的今昔。同时，文化周也是东西方文化的一次沟通。我们希望这次活动能够促进中英两国和两国文化之间的交流和了解，缩短东西方之间的差距。
What will be displayed within the 7 short days?
我们选择了一些反映中国文化精髓的主题，有古代的，也有现代的。活动分成展览和表演两大类。Could
you tell me more about the exhibition?
我们要展示的内容包括中国在教育、文化、建筑和科技方面所取得的成就。 介绍首都北京和东方明珠上海的新貌。我们还要展出中国陶器、京剧戏装、中国编钟和中国出土文物的精品。最后一场展览将展示被联合国科教文组织列入世界遗产名录的21处景点及其图片和物品，如莫高窟复制品、出土于秦始皇陵的青铜战车等。
What about the performance? What do we expect to see?
在展出期间，我们将安排三场演出。 有编钟音乐会，有民间歌舞演出，有中国历史上各朝代的服饰表演和现代服装表演。
Most of British people have little knowledge of Chinese chimes. Could you take a few minutes and introduce your chimes to us?
编钟是我们古人所用的一种严肃乐器。将要展出的编钟是1978年出土的。研究表明，这些编钟为战国早期的礼仪乐器，大约出自2400年前伟大思想家孔子和伟大诗人屈原生活的时代。
How many chimes will be displayed?
你们将看到65个编钟，全是以青铜铸造，八音度的音域很宽，是音域最宽、定音最全的大乐器。每个编钟都可以发出有着不同高低音的两种音调，这表明当时人们已具有高水平的音乐表演能力和高超的乐器制作工艺。与这些编钟同时出土的还有其他124种古乐器，如瑟、笙、箫、鼓。这次我们带来了一部分这类古代乐器参展。
How do these chimes sound to the modern ear?
编钟可以很好的同中国民乐队协奏，也能和谐的同西方交响乐队协奏。中国编钟乐队选择、整理和重新编排了一些古乐作品。有些参加的乐器年代甚至比编钟还要久远，如3000年前商代的青铜鼓和8000年前的吴阳鼓哨。
What about the Peking Opera costumes to be displayed?
欧洲是交响乐之乡，也是歌剧之乡，是许多杰出作曲家的摇篮。中国也有歌剧，那就是京剧。京剧起源于200年前清朝时期的北京。京剧是一种集歌剧表演、歌唱、音乐、舞蹈和武术于一体的表演艺术。我们的服装展览会将展示这个东方歌剧历时200年的发展史，以及源自清朝后期的舞台服饰。服饰设计采用了夸张性和象征性的手法，色彩明亮鲜艳，用料独特，裁剪别致。另一场展览将展出600套服饰，其中有秦汉以来不同朝代的古装，有我国少数民族服装，也有现代服饰。我国大陆的名模将登台表演，展示我国服装业和服装设计师的成就。
Thank you very much for the introduction. I wish the coming China Culture Week a complete success.
谢谢，我期待着在展览会上与您再次见面。
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese-English alternating interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
加拿大通信专家马歇尔·麦克卢汉一生中从未碰过个人电脑。麦克卢汉于1979年逝世。他对媒体的研究以及他对人们和社会的影响至今仍发挥着作用。美国高科技专家保罗·列文森与麦克卢汉教授相识，他对自己所著的《数字化的麦克卢汉：进入信息化千年的引导者》一书中探讨了麦克卢汉对媒体的研究以及他对大众和社会的影响。以下是对保罗·列文森的一次采访。列文森先生，你在所著的《数字化的麦克卢汉：进入信息化千年的引导者》一书中探讨了马歇尔·麦克卢汉对媒体的研究以及他对大众和社会的影响。麦克卢汉教授是一位来自加拿大的通信专家，一生中他从未碰过个人电脑。 可他为什么会是一名如此重要的人物呢？
He did his writing in the decades of 1950s through 1970s. And those decades, of course, were the first years of television. He was the first thinker to really look at television as something that had a serious impact upon our society. Interestingly, although he was writing about television, an enormous amount of what he said has even more applicability to the Internet age. For example, he said that television was turning the world into a global village. What he meant by that is that when everyone watches the same thing on the television screen, that group which is watching the television program is a community of sorts. It's like the people in a village all hearing and seeing the same thing. In contrast, now in the new millennium, when people communicate on the web and through the Internet, they are not only doing and hearing and seeing the same thing, they are also participating, communicating among each other. So the notion of village becomes much more meaningful and real in our digital age.
所不同的是，电视是一种单向的媒体，而因特网是双向的。
That's right. There is the crucial difference right there. Most media in the 20th century, in fact, all of the major media of the 20th century, radio, motion pictures, television, were and are like newspapers and books, one-way media. The telephone, which of course was invented in 1876, is a two-way medium. But it is a two-way personal medium. There is nothing public, or there shouldn't be much public, about a telephone conversation. What makes the Internet so different is that it is public, but it is also interactive and two-way.
我们怎样来确保我们所拥有的是一个地球村而不是一个国际贫民窟呢？因为因特网可能有危险。一说起村庄，我就想到这是一个友好的地方，而因特网并不是一个不折不扣的友善之地，是吗？
The village itself we might think of as being friendly, but even with traditional villages, I'm sure a fair share of villages had one or two psychotic persons. So the Internet is really a magnification of human life.So, unsurprisingly, yes, there are some nutcases on the Internet. There are hackers and other types of criminals on the Internet, and we do have to work hard to be aware of those problems and do what we can to keep them in check. At the same time, we have to resist the temptation of turning the Internet into a police state or into an arena where the rights and freedoms that we enjoy offline are curtailed online in the interest of keeping it safe. There is always that sort of balance. Yes, we want it to be safe, but yes, we also want it to be free.
马歇尔·麦克卢汉看到了一个人人都能成为出版商的时代，他指的是复印机。今天我们有了因特网，它能使每个人都能成为出色的出版者，但不是编辑。人人都是出版者，但周围却没有编辑。难道这不是一个问题吗？
The traditional value of the editor is in some way to stipulate and vouch for the quality of the publication. Yes, there is a concern that when anyone can put anything on a web page,There is no safeguard for the quality. But on the other hand, and there is always another hand, I think the reason why McLuhan celebrated first the Xerox, allowing every author to be a publisher, and why I'm now so pleased that the web is even expanding and amplifying that, is there is also the danger of editors keeping things out of the mix, things that are good. What the web does is it removes the middleman and allows the creator to communicate directly with his or her audience. And on balance, I think that's a good thing. There will be more trash available, but there will also be more treasure that would otherwise be hidden from public view. Passage 2. English-Chinese alternating interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into Chinese and English.
How many traditional operas are there in China?
各类传统戏剧总数达300种左右。有些全国知名，如京剧、评剧、粤剧、粤剧。其中最受欢迎的京剧已有200多年的历史了。
How did traditional Chinese operas come into being?
中国传统戏剧在其长期的形成和发展过程中，借鉴了音乐、舞蹈、诗词、美术、杂技、武术等艺术形式，最后发展成以戏剧情节表演为主导的一种兼收并蓄而又独立的艺术形式。
Almost all modern operas originated from some kind of ancient performing art.
是的，歌剧是由原始歌舞发展而来，包括祭祀神灵、祖先以及庆祝丰收和胜利的歌舞。据历史记载，取悦王公贵族的专业艺术家早在春秋战国时期便已出现。西汉时期，宫廷和民间盛行舞蹈、音乐、杂技和手技等表演，以后出现了歌舞剧，并加入动作和对话来表现剧情。
As far as I know, Chinese operas first appeared in the South.
不完全对，这样说吧，宋金时期出现了杂剧，其中最为突出的是南剧，通常叫做南戏，主要出现在闽浙一带。现代戏剧带有一些明显的南戏成分。元朝的杂剧达到了鼎盛时期，出现了一大批经典作品和杰出的剧作家。到了明朝，杂剧分化成不同的地方戏剧，有着不同的唱腔。
The life of drama lies in its development and renovation.
完全正确。中国戏剧到了清朝更加繁荣，同时也进一步地区化，产生了不同的唱腔，如高腔、昆腔、秦腔、梆子、二黄、西皮等。到了清朝中期，北京的戏班子将二黄和西皮融合起来，同时还采用了其他唱腔的一些成分，推出了一种新的皮黄调，就是现在京剧的前身。
To what do you attribute the sustained popularity of traditional Chinese operas?
在长期的发展过程中，中国戏剧形成了鲜明的民族特色，受到广大群众的欢迎，也得到政府强有力的支持。自1949年以来，中国传统戏剧得到了前所未有的发展，全国各地现有剧团1573个，演员达到86000多名，其中京剧团为135个，京剧演员11000名左右。
In the West, operas are losing young audiences. What is the situation in China?
在变化了的生活方式和大众传媒的冲击下，传统戏剧在一些大城市失去了许多年轻的观众，但是传统戏剧依然是最受我国人民欢迎的娱乐活动之一。
未来，伴随你走向世界。爱未来，爱未来。